Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN. Shane, Jordan, Cornette holding it down on Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas to you all. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you want to hit us up, please do so. 888-729-3776. It's 888-SAY-ESPN. What is the best gift that your team, whoever that is out there, has given you? We've got our own picks. We'll get to a little bit later on in the show. So we're asking the question, which one of these contenders is going to be too good to be true this year? Is it the Mavericks, the Clippers, the Celtics, or the Nuggets? Four really good teams. Which of those four teams do you look at and you say, I don't know?
I like all four. All four are going to be playing very meaningful basketball late in the season. They're all interesting picks to say you like them for certain reasons. I'm just going to go with the lesser of the four. The Nuggets made that run to Western Conference Finals, no doubt, to be celebrated. Keep in mind they almost lost in the first round. And Jamal Murray established himself as must-see TV. Him and Donovan Mitchell going back and forth.
Wow, Jamal Murray fan, yes.
That was fun to watch. The Joker's already established. Could he become an MVP in this league? Maybe. At least maybe garner some votes. That's the ceiling. It's a pretty high ceiling. I look at them, though, and I look at them losing defenders, guys that added a lot to that team, guys like Jeremy Grant, Torrey Craig, no longer there. That's going to hurt this team because Michael Porter, yes, is a gifted player with an impressive set of skills, but nowhere in there is defense. Michael Porter does not understand how to defend. He doesn't understand the scheme. I don't think he really cares to defend. He's a great player who could score the ball, though. So I look at those other teams that have bona fide stars. Because what were the other teams again?
Clippers, Celtics.
Clippers have two megastars.
Mavericks.
Mavericks have arguably the best player in the NBA for years to come.
And Luka.
For years to come. Extending out here in the next decade, it's going to be Luka's league. So that one's established. Then what was the other team? Clippers, Mavs, Celtics. Celtics and the Nuggets are kind of close, but ultimately I went with the Celtics because
went with the Nuggets.
I took the Celtics in my team that are above the Nuggets because Jason Tatum, I'm so high on that young man. I really believe in Brad Stevens. I know he's losing some support at times and places. I think Jaylen Brown takes the next step. I like their approach better. I think they have more staying, consistent power. I think you saw lightning in a bottle from the Nuggets last season in a bubble.
Okay, fair enough. My initial reaction, and this was hard for me too, my initial reaction was the Clippers. Just because there was so much talent on that roster last year, and I know they had some injuries, and truly you didn't get to see them play together, it felt like, until it really mattered in the bubble. And so all that load management and guys being hurt and timeout proved, because no one knew the world was shutting down, the NBA was going to be canceled for some time, proved to be detrimental to the Clippers, I think, going forward. Yet still, now you have a new head coach in Ty Lue, and I think you saw in night one when the Clips beat the Lakers that Ty Lue prioritized Paul George in utilizing him in the offense in a way that would make him feel comfortable and make him feel like the superstar that he is in this league. So I like that. I just hate how they give away leads. Hey, Milwaukee does it too. I hate how they give away these leads. And until I'm proved otherwise, I would take the Clippers there. Now, the Celtics would be
You're saying the Clippers are the team you don't trust.
That I don't trust.
Whoa, okay. I hear you. I'm
a big Kawhi Leonard fan. I like Ty Lue. I just haven't seen like dominance, consistency from them. And I guess the Celtics could be in there too. I'm a big Brad Stevens fan. Friend of the family. But Jason Tatum is their guy, and he hasn't proved to be the superstar in this league that he should have probably already become, I feel like. In the last 2 years. Last year,
Came in a league in 2017. He was third-team All-NBA last year.
I hear you, but I feel like last year he had moments where he could shine, and he didn't. And so
that's fair.
And so,
but he's a third-team All-League guy last year.
None of these players that I've mentioned are bad players. I'm not by any way taking shots. You asked me who I would trust the least. My gut reaction would be the Clips. The Celtics would be right there.
I like you going Clips because I think everybody should have some trepidation about the Clippers. Paul George can say a lot. He can do a lot in game one, but show me when it matters, PG, that you've got it. Talking about returning to MVP caliber form, you've never been an MVP. Like, show me that you can do it. I'm with you there. I actually like that you went for the team that I would have comfortably put at number two, because there's a valid argument to be made that they should not be trusted.
I don't, and the playoff P thing, like, what are we doing with that?
Yeah, and more pandemic P, as everybody was talking about during the bubble.
It's just, it's not cool, okay, until we're, like, really established as a true mainstay.
To me,
playoff.
Though, it's about chemistry and culture there. Like, these guys who were there, the established pieces, the Beverleys, the Lou Williams, those guys saying, all right, you guys are stars, but this is a unit here. It's not Kawhi and what he wants and PG's his Batman Robin setup, and we're just guys here.
Right.
Like, Lou Williams' resume is an impressive one. Patrick Beverley is from the west side of Chicago. Like, let's keep it all the way 100 here on the guys we're talking about. And can those personalities merge together to go out there and win? We'll see.
Okay. So we've talked about, I guess, holes, if you will, in Clippers, Celtics, and Nuggets so far. Jordan said the one team that maybe could be too good to be true would be the Nuggets. I said the Clips. The one team we haven't really talked much about would be the Mavericks. So I think at this point,
got to guard. Got to defend.
Okay. That was going to be my question.
Got it.
Is there a weakness at all on this Mavericks team?
Oh, yeah. It's a massive one. It's a whole side of the court that they've got to say, hey, we can't just go out there and say we're going to outscore everybody. Like, that can't be the setup here. You watch the team and you see the ability to put the ball in the basket. All
so
five guys.
So you say that, but then you say you trust them.
Luka Doncic.
I was genuinely sad when the Mavericks lost in the bubble.
But
I loved watching him so much.
It's and you hear the guys on his show talk about it, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And J. Will beats the drum as loud as anybody. I'm right there picking up the slack while he's off right now. Is you have to watch him play. Like, if you're telling me there's one guy in the NBA that you can watch right now, who's that guy? Who's the one person you want to turn on a TV and watch? Yates is a big NBA guy.
I don't know that I would pick Luka if that's where you're wanting to direct
me. Yates, is if there's one guy in a league that you can watch right now, I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this, but we're just filling in, so they can't really fire us. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Right. What are they going to do?
Alan Yates, who's the one guy in the NBA you want to watch? He's on the board here on the show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Who's the one player in the NBA?
Well, if Shade's not going to like this, but I want to watch James Harden play no matter what. But if it's not Harden, I'd need to watch Luka. Like,
Luka.
He's different. He's special.
He's different. And Yates is as dialed into the NBA as anybody. He's different. James Harden is fair. I just don't love the ball dominance. I think it brings people down. I think Luka's ability to make everybody around him elevated is the separator.
Yeah, no, I love Luka's game. I love watching Luka play. But if you're going to ask me who's one player that you tune into the NBA for, I that wouldn't be my first go-to.
Who's yours?
Probably LeBron.
I mean,
isn't that the obvious answer?
It's not the obvious one, but it's probably the front runner. 18 seasons, the proof is in the pudding. Nobody's going to be mad at you for picking LeBron. Are you kidding me? What Luka brings, I watch him and I go, wow, that guy is like, I'm not saying he's Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson's on my Mount Rushmore best players ever. Luka's got a long way to go. But when I watched Magic, in the time that I was able to watch Magic, I was like, wow, you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know how he's going to do it, but you know the four other guys on the floor are better off that Magic is the guy distributing that thing, facilitating it, and scoring it when he has to. And that's what Luka brings.
Okay, those are some big shoes that you just put him in, but that's
didn't call him the next Magic Johnson.
No, but that is an extremely well-given compliment. And I'm not mad at you, Yates, for picking James Harden. You want to watch James Harden? You can. I just think he's a baby.
Okay. Did you do that? Why?
It's fine. You do you. I just think he's a little bit of a baby. We were talking about the Celtics and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was in the zone during the game winner last night. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. So the four-ish NFL games that you need to pay attention to this weekend, after I remind you that beginning Tuesday, January 5th, Mike Greenberg begins his show Greeny immediately following Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Greeny will take you inside the stories of the day as only he can. He'll have the newsmakers you'd expect, and he'll interact with you every single day from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin right into Greeny weekday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Let's get to four downs. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN. We are Shea and Jordan Cornette. If you're just waking up with us, don't mind our get up. But hey, Merry Christmas to y'all. You know, we're in our pajamas. It's early in the morning, and we match. And we're married, and we're merry. It's all good. Let's get to first down.
I have nothing to add.
Colts at Steelers. So the Colts can clinch a playoff berth with a win and then a loss by either the Ravens or the Dolphins. This is the seventh all-time meeting between Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, each drafted in 2004. My goodness, that was a long time ago. Each have three wins head-to-head. Their seventh meeting will be the most in the common draft era between quarterbacks taken in the top 15. All that to say, what do you like? Steelers or Colts?
The Colts. The Steelers are going to be on the field looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, that's the team we wanted to be. That's the team we were when we started 11-0. That's the team everybody thought we were, at least. But it's actually the Colts. The Colts with the quarterback that's great against pressure, as good as Patrick Mahomes against pressure in terms of statistically. He ain't Patrick Mahomes. But Philip Rivers has been statistically as good as anybody against pressure this season. So you got the veteran quarterback that's actually making plays. He plays for the Colts. The defense. It's a better defense with the Colts than it is with the Steelers. And that's because Bud Dupree is out. And that's where the fractures have come into this Pittsburgh defense. I would have given the nod to the Steelers defense, but I like the Colts defense better. The run game. Colts have it more. Jonathan Taylor. It's a better team, better balance, and that offensive line for the Colts blows the Steelers out of the way, out of the water. The Steelers want to be the Colts. The Colts are the Colts. They've won the last three. The Steelers have lost the last three. You need to see these Steelers come out here and play great football. I don't see it happening. I think they've lost their mojo. I like the Colts, and I like them big.
Okay, I like the Colts, too, for a few different reasons. First of all, the Steelers have not put up 20 points in a game in their last five games. That's a problem, especially when you're playing a team like the Colts, who I'll just run through it. Their last game against the Texans, they put up 27. Their game before that against the Raiders, they put up 44. The game before that against the Texans, again, 26. And a loss to the Titans, 26. All over 20 points is what I'm getting to. So the Colts, while they have a very dominant defense, can score points when Philip Rivers is playing good football, which he is right now because he has not thrown an interception in three straight games.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
Philip Rivers is playing well, this Colts team plays well. So he needs to come out and from the jump have a good game against the Steelers.
That's my woman right there. That's why I married you. I love when we're on the same page. Also, DeAndre Hopkins, clearly.
What are we doing? Why are we going there?
Because I'm saying when the Cardinals got him, it was huge. That's the number one story of grabbing a guy from another team, getting him on your roster, and his paid dividends. But DeForest Buckner coming over for the Colts, let's keep it all the way real. That has been massive for this defense and a difference maker, an absolute disruptor. I expect a big game from DeForest Buckner.
And when DeForest Buckner is not in the game, which we saw earlier this year.
Gashed.
Yeah, big problems for that Colts
Tennessee
team.
Hung 45 on him.
Let's go to the second down. All right, Giants at Ravens. So the Giants would be eliminated from the playoffs with a loss and a Washington football win. The Giants have scored one touchdown in their last 23 offensive drives going into this game. The Giants average just over 17 points a game, which is not a lot this season. In fact, it's the second worst in the NFL. And so, Jordan, Giants at Ravens, any shots? The Giants come away with a W, and they hold the Washington football team back another game.
What do you always say about the Giants?
What do I always say about the Giants? I think they're going to win the division, but I don't anymore.
But that they're sneaky dangerous.
they're pesky.
They're pesky. They're a sneaky dangerous team. However, the Ravens, their last three games have figured it out, putting up points: 34, 47, 40. They're back to scoring points. Lamar Jackson has found his groove again. This is a Ravens team that's absolutely playing for something, playing to get into this thing. More on the line. Actually, both have a lot on the line. But Lamar Jackson, I think the Giants defense, which has been impressive, doesn't have answers for Lamar Jackson that's found his groove.
Yeah, I like the Ravens in this game, too. I think they're playing much better football as of late. And as of late, I mean in their last three games. Jags and the Cowboys, who cares? I don't think those are two very good football teams. But the way they played against the Browns, I think, showed us all something, because the Browns are playing good football right now, too. They can score. They can defend. I think they can be much better defensively, if I'm being honest. But against a Giants team who has trouble putting up points, and instead their strength is their defense, I think the Ravens will do well. So I'll take the Ravens in this game, and I'm sorry, but the Giants will be eliminated from the playoffs if that happens. We go to third down. Rams at Seahawks. The Seahawks can clinch the NFC West with a win. The Rams can clinch a playoff berth with a win or a loss by either the Bears or the Cardinals. Who do you like in this one, Jordan?
Who's Jared Goff going to be? You got an answer for me?
I have nothing.
You can tell me who Jared Goff's going to be. I feel a whole lot more confident in this one. No, I think Russ Cooks.
I don't think anyone could tell you who Jared Goff is going to be in any given day since he's been drafted into this
league. And that's just the problem with me. One minute you think this is a team that could contend for a Super Bowl. The next minute you're going, I don't know what's going on with this team. And it starts with Jared Goff. I just have too many questions there. And I think Russell is a guy that's trending upward going into the postseason. I'm going with Russell Wilson.
I have to. I can't believe I'm agreeing with you on every single one of these games, but I would take the Seahawks and Russell Wilson in this game, too. Like, the Seahawks are getting healthier. They're playing better defense. They finally have a stable of running backs that can play well. And Russ probably doesn't feel anymore like he has to cook. He has to do it all. He's got to do too much for the Seahawks team to win. On the other side, the Rams. Now, look, if the Rams hadn't gone out and Jared Goff hadn't played like he was in year one, because we all remember what Jared Goff looked like year one he was in the NFL. It was confusing why he was the number one overall pick. And then Sean McVay comes in and this entire Rams team turns around. They go to the Super Bowl, et cetera, yet still, we don't know who Jared Goff is on a week-to-week basis, as you mentioned, and we saw last week against the Jets. Again, the Rams lost to the Jets, the worst team in the NFL.
But
what I would expect is the Rams to come out and have a big game and show that that was embarrassing. We went back to the tape. We'll never play like that again. That was an extremely humbling loss, as Sean McVay said, and for them to play well. I just can't put all my chips in that basket yet until I see it. And so who do I trust more in this situation, Goff or Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson, and
sure,
so I'll take the Seahawks.
But it always goes a little bit deeper than that, because the Rams do typically have the Seahawks number. You do get the best in terms of scheme from McVay in this one. You get the best performance from Goff. And the Rams defense seems to have an idea of how to handle
Russell Wilson.
Yes. And that's usually been the story here. We talked about quarterbacks a lot. I do think it's worth talking about the Seattle Seahawks defense, because the Seattle Seahawks defense has been the Achilles heel, the question. This is a defense that's going to let down Russell Wilson, and no matter what Russell Wilson does, they're just not going to figure it out. Well, Carlos Dunlap, but more importantly, Jamal Adams anchoring that thing, those additions, have been a difference maker. Now, I get it. The last two games have been the Jets and the Washington football team. Those aren't very gifted offenses, but it goes a long way for confidence for a defense that has averaged only 9 points given up in those two matchups. Can that bleed into this one for a Rams team that's trying to recover from trying to figure out who the heck they are, having lost to the Jets? I need to see the Seattle defense bring it here. You know the Rams D is going to bring it and come after Russell Wilson, but what can the Seahawks defense do? That'll give me a clearer picture of what the Seahawks can be going into the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to what I'm going to call the most important down here, because it's my favorite game of the weekend. So it's like 4th-and-1 with the game on the line. Let's go. Titans and Packers. I don't know if I didn't look ahead on the schedule. I had just kind of circled the Steelers and Colts, and then Titans and Packers just popped up on my sheet today. I'm like, this is going to be a good game.
A lot of points.
Run game from Derrick Henry. An arm from Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau in December, Christmas weekend. What more do you want? Anyways, I really have a hard time picking this one, Jordan. Like, a real hard time, so I'll let you go first.
Well, I think everybody's going to look and say Derrick Henry's going to, I mean, he's an NFL's rushing leader. He's going to run all over the Packers in this game. But it's going to be Aaron Jones for Green Bay.
Oh, look at you.
Who's going to run all over the Titans? Because everybody says Derrick Henry, rushing leader. Aaron Rodgers, passing leader. It's going to be the other Aaron. Aaron Jones is going to have a big day in this one. He's going to outrush Derrick Henry. And I don't think there's anybody out there who's going to ride with me on this one. It's a bold prediction. Aaron Jones is the story. He outrushes Derrick Henry.
Okay, so the Packers have all this talent, but it feels like they have none because the constant storyline surrounding the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is the fact that the Packers don't give him any help. Yet still, you don't realize that he is a top 10 tight end, he is a top receiver, and he is a top running back. In fact, let me go a step further. The Packers and the Titans are the only teams entering Week 16 to feature a quarterback with 30 passing touchdowns, a running back with 10 touchdowns, and a wide receiver with 3 touchdowns. Like, they're pretty evenly matched here. But, and I don't feel like you talk about the weapons the Packers have the same way you do about the Titans or these other teams in the National Football League.
Well, the thing is, that offense that Aaron Rodgers puts out there on the field and how productive they are makes the opposition change their approach, has to rip things up because they're playing from behind. And it makes a defense that's above average a very good one that ranks in the top 10 defensively in passing, right just outside of it in rushing. But they get out to the quarterback in sacks, and it's top 10 scoring defense. That's a lot of because of what they do offensively. When Aaron Rodgers puts up points like that, teams are playing from behind. That's changed what they typically do. It allows that defense to thrive. To me, it's just going to be how badly does Derrick Henry gash this defense? And that's really going to be the story. The Packers defense, which is the 11th best rush defense in the league, just how good is it really? Because I know that Aaron Rodgers is going to put that ball in the air and find the end zone a few times. And I believe Aaron Jones is going to have a massive day. It's going to come down to, can the Packers stop the run or at least limit it?
Okay. So let me give my pick because you are taking the Packers. Yes, you
taking
think Aaron Jones is going to
outrun. You know I'm not a Titans guy.
Is going to outrun Derrick Henry. Well, as you just said, what is the weakness on the Packers? That would be their defense. And so,
but it's not a weakness. That's what I'm telling you. It's not a weakness.
But
they're top 10 against the run. They're right outside. They're right outside of it against the run.
Let me rephrase.
They're top 10 against the pass. It's a top 10 scoring defense.
Okay, let me rephrase.
That's not fair.
What is the least consistent thing you can look to on the Packers?
Packers don't force turnovers. The defense doesn't force turnovers.
Okay, and what do the Titans do? They force turnovers. I'm going to take the Titans in this one, and this is tough for me to pick because I believe in Aaron Rodgers. I always do. I think he is a wonderful quarterback, and I think in a duel, he would beat out Ryan Tannehill. I'm not picking against Derrick Henry. I'm not. Against a spotty defense that, yes, has played better and is not terrible, but can be inconsistent.
Let me add one other thing
here. What?
With Aaron Rodgers, you're going to give him time in a clean pocket to cut you up. That's going to be a problem because you know what the Titans are the worst in the NFL at? Getting to the quarterback. And if you don't put any pressure on Aaron Rodgers, you let him comfortably stand tall and dissect your defense, it's game over. You know what else?
What?
Third downs, where games are won and lost a lot of times.
The Titans are bad on
Titans
third downs.
Are bad.
They're bad.
They're the worst in the NFL on third downs. Okay, so we've covered those two. How about in the red zone, when it's scoring points time, where it's get six for Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones or whoever's going to find the end zone? 30th in the NFL are the Titans. You're going against a potent offense like the Packers, and those are your statistics in those categories, those all-important categories. Give me the Packers to hang 40 on the Titans or more
please.
And roll in this game.
Oh, please.
It's a bad matchup.
I don't like that it's at Lambeau because I think that does give the Packers an added advantage there, too.
How?
What do you mean, how? I don't care if there's no fans in the stands. Have you ever been to Lambeau? It's a different kind of stadium.
I haven't. Flex, I haven't. I know you have.
Okay. The seats are like on top of you. The weather's cold. It's windy. It's a different kind of feel than playing in Tennessee. It just is.
Last on third downs. Last in sacks.
I don't care. Ryan Tannehill's great on third down. So when their offense is on the field, they should be able to put up some points.
Try and keep up. Derrick Henry.
Keep trying to convince me. I'm taking the Titans. Let's disagree on one.
Why are you yelling at me?
I don't know. You're just starting to make me mad. So, too bad. I'm taking the Titans.
Oh, upset.
I'm upset. Okay. All right. All right. Let's now go to our Shell Pennzoil Performance Line brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And that is where ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody joins us. Good morning to you, Damian. Thank you for getting up early on Christmas Eve. I know you probably can't see us, but we look very embarrassing. So we're happy that maybe someone of your
Christmas
stature
onesies.
Could bring us a little bit of credibility this morning. Okay. So good morning to you, Damian.
I'm sure you guys are fine. Good morning and Merry Christmas Eve to you guys.
Thank you very much. So we talked a little earlier to our Patriots reporter, Mike Reese, and it's kind of this contentious situation about what's going to happen with the quarterback position, and Bill Belichick refuses to answer. And so I ask you, why do you think Bill Belichick is so hostile about who he's going to start at quarterback? It's not like they're playing to get into the playoffs or seeding or anything like that. Why not just say it's Cam?
Well, listen, I've been a part of that Patriots organization for 5 years, 4 years with Bill Belichick, and that's how he always rolls. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't show his hand regardless of the Patriots are making the playoffs, out of the playoffs. That's just who he is. He's the type of guy that's going to give as little as information as possible on whether it be to, you know, to, you know, discourage the Buffalo Bills in their preparation or, you know, just to screw with the media. That's just the way Bill Belichick operates.
Damian, I'm looking for clarity from a guy like you with your resume. It speaks for itself, and you can provide a little bit more insight on this one. So DeAndre Hopkins, the best receiver in the NFL, you can make arguments for others, but I'm going to say he's the best right now. The practice habits have come to light that he's missing a lot of practice. He doesn't think it's a big deal. You shared the locker room with a lot of stars, maybe some guys who didn't have a penchant for practicing. How do you assess this, what's becoming a story with DeAndre Hopkins?
This is a nothing burger right here. Everyone knows in the NFL, NFL is a meritocracy. So, you know, everyone is not treated equally in the locker room. You ask any NFL player, past, present, you know, what's the situation in the locker room? Every locker room has this, where guys, especially this time of year, don't really practice it much. It's more about maintenance. Remember, this NFL is a battle of attrition. You're just trying to get through the season. And when you're talking about the best wide receiver in the National Football League and DeAndre Hopkins, I don't need him to practice. I just need him to show up and do what he do on game day. So this is a nothing story to me.
Yes. Finally, Damian. Somebody talking real out here. Damian, you should hear how my wife is dragging D Hop out here.
I did not drag. I just drug. Simply
oh,
said.
Oh, no, don't
I,
do that. Don't drag D Hop like that.
Look, I would love D Hop on my team. I'm a Bears fan. I am not saying he is a bad player for missing
play for
practice.
You don't want to play for you.
I'm just saying I'd like him to act like, you know, he wants to be there once in a while. Is that asking too much? We're joined right now by Damian Woody. He's our ESPN NFL analyst. Okay, kind of in that same vein. Of bothersome would be Juju Smith-Schuster being told that now he's going to stop dancing. And I think he handled this perfectly, the way he told the media. I didn't have a problem with him dancing on the logos. I know a lot of people did, but he wants to make it not about himself. What did you make of Juju Smith-Schuster saying he's no longer going to do his TikTok dances pregame, which he's done all year long?
Well, it's unfortunate because Juju brings such a great spirit to the game. He's a fun-loving guy. And I didn't have a problem with him doing it either. It's not like players just go in, you know, playing in the middle of the game. Oh, Juju was dancing pregame on the logo. I'm just going to play that much harder. It doesn't work that way. Once the game starts, you're not thinking about any type of bulletin board material or whatever a guy does in pregame. You're just trying to win a football game. But I think what you know, differentiates this situation, and I agree with Juju, is whenever, you know, other guys on the team have to start, you know, talking about your actions, the head coach has to start talking about your actions, then it officially becomes a distraction. So I think Juju was right in that sense that, you know what, it's becoming too much. Let me tone it back and just focus on what's really important. That's winning football games.
I love having Damian on because he's become like the judge and jury between our debates
know, our
here.
Arguments,
and he's going to settle another one here for us before we let Damian go. So, Damian, in the last few days, me and Shay, my wife here, have been going back and forth, Damian, on if Baker Mayfield is the guy in Cleveland and if he's done enough to go ahead and pay that man when the season's over, assuming he keeps on playing like this for this season. I believe he's shown enough where you don't mess around. Go pay Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. My wife says I'm crazy. As you assess it today, how do you feel?
Well, listen, before the season, I said that they shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't exercise a fifth-year option because he definitely hadn't done enough. But there were some circumstances that played into that. You know, multiple head coaches, multiple offensive coordinators, all those things played into it. But I think when you look at the job that Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, have done with that with Baker Mayfield and playing to his strength, I think he's done a fantastic job. Baker Mayfield has bought all the way in, and he's playing some really good football right now. And I agree. Listen, I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, you have to exercise that fifth-year option. I think Baker Mayfield has shown you now that, hey, he's the type of guy that can lead our franchise into the future, because I think that he plays in an offense that not everything is put on his shoulders. So I think Baker Mayfield is going to be the long-term solution for the Cleveland Browns.
Say, how you feel? D. Hopkins is not a bad guy.
No, I feel
Baker Mayfield is the quarterback.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I love it. I love this.
See, I'm not trying to get into the middle of a, husband and wife squabble. That's not what I want to do, especially on Christmas Eve.
Damien didn't know
he signed up for this.
I know, poor guy. All right, last one here, D-Way, before we let you go. It's been a minute now since we've seen the Steelers, and the last time we saw them, it was in a loss to the Bengals, 3 straight, in fact. And so there's been a lot of talk about Big Ben. Realistically, do we see Big Ben going far in the playoffs or winning another Super Bowl with the Steelers?
I don't see it. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have a recipe for disaster in the postseason. Big Ben, when I look at him, he's on the back nine of his career. There's no question about it. His play is deteriorating. You shouldn't ask Big Ben to throw the ball 35, 40 plus times a game. That's not what he should be doing. Right now in his career, he should be leaning on the defense and a physical run. Pittsburgh Steelers can't impose their will on anyone. They're getting beat up at the line of scrimmage. And that's hurting the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly in offense. Forget all the weapons that they have on the outside. If you can't impose your will at this time of the year, you're not going to go far, and I think it might be an early exit for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, unfortunately, we agree with you. All right, Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. You can get more from Damian this morning on Get Up at 8 a.m. on ESPN. Damian, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for being with us. We'll catch up with you soon.
Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
See you later. Four Downs brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Jordan, how much do you love Christmas movies?
I love them. I love Christmas movies.
Love.
Big Christmas movie guy here. Big Christmas onesie guy over here. Just a big guy in
general.
Can
I just say this isn't even a onesie? Like, it's a top and pants. It's like Christmas pajamas.
You don't have to tell everybody. It looks very clearly like a onesie.
All right. Okay. We're going to name.
There's no breathing room in this thing.
Thank you. This is a good visual for those that can't see, I'm sure, at home. Favorite Christmas movies. This can get controversial. Some aren't really Christmas movies. Some you think are, and they're not. We'll discuss that next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I am Shay Cornett. He is Jordan Cornett. We're married. We're merry. It's Christmas. We're matching. We're happy. Are we happy?
Of course we're happy.
Okay, good. We're happy. And so we're filling in. And again, I say this every day, but it's really probably true after this get up. I don't know if we're coming back ever. If Keyshawn, J. Will, or Zubin are watching this, they're like, get these clowns off.
Or if they're watching. You think they're watching this?
Get these clowns off.
Why would those
show?
Three elevated personalities watch this? They got families. They got things to do. They bust their tails round the clock. They ain't worried about these two bozos in there.
All right,
Christmas
chill out,
outfits.
Bozos. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're asking you, what is the best gift that your team has ever given you, rather? Is there a gift that the team you root for gave you and you can never, ever forget? Also, tonight is Christmas Eve, and so in our household, we're going to watch a Christmas movie. Whether my husband here likes it or not, we're going to put our phones down, turn the fire on, and we're going to watch a Christmas movie. And so my question is, and this is a debatable topic, because there's some Christmas movies that ain't Christmas movies that people throw around very cavalier. Top three.
Thank you.
Christmas movies.
I don't have five.
I'll let you go first.
Top flight security of the world, Craig.
You have quoted.
The world.
Okay, it's been too much today with the quotes.
Friday After Next.
Oh.
Let's go. Friday After Next, a great Christmas flick. You don't believe me? Go watch it.
Okay.
Rest in peace, Debo. Love Actually is a fantastic flick.
That one I like.
What do we love?
Love.
We love love. Love Actually definitely makes it on my list. The little kid is adorable in that one. I'm a big Love Actually fan. And then Home Alone is the goat of all Christmas movies. You're from Chicago.
Yep.
I lived in Chicago for 15 years. It become home for me in a lot of ways. Met the love of my life. Built a family there. And now we brought it out east. So Home Alone, I mean, Kevin!
Oh, that's the line you're going with? Buzz's girlfriend.
Woof. Yeah, I like that one,
and
too.
And Buzz is actually wearing, when he says that line, a starter jacket from my high school.
Hit your three, because I want to go around a horn. I want to hear the fellas in the control room. I want to hear everybody.
Okay, four. I'm breaking the rules.
We got James, we got PC, we got James, we got Pat, we got Yates. We got to get to everybody.
Okay, fine. I'm don't take over as the host and try and boss me around.
So now you're just the established, like, this is your show?
No, I'm just saying, don't try and rush me. I didn't rush you. I have four. I'm breaking the rules. Grinch, because my family and I always watch The Grinch together, the Jim Carrey version, because he makes me LOL even though I know every line. Home Alone, for the same reason that Jordan mentioned, it is Chicago, and I could quote every line in that movie, and it's still funny to me every single time. The Holiday, I mean, can I just keep it real?
Square peg, round hole.
Yeah, and Jude Law in that movie, too. And then...
First bucket! Wait a second. You're going for the movie based off the looks of Jude Law?
I'm just kidding. It's a great movie, but also...
You know, yeah. Jude Law's backstory, right?
Yes. You're out here every time.
I'm just doing this because...
Every time
No. I'm going to do this the whole show because how you talked about D-Hop, how you talked about James Harden, but you're going to pass to Jude Law? Why don't you read up on Jude Law before you go out here celebrating Jude Law?
Okay.
Yates is Googling it right now. Read up on Jude Law, and then you'll look at Shay real sideways for how she's giving passes out here and how she's distributing them.
You sound so jealous. All I was pointing out is that he looks cute.
Jude
in this
doesn't
movie.
Look like this in a onesie.
That's true.
He'd look a lot.
That's
better,
true.
Probably. All right, let's kick it to the fellas.
Wait, I had four. My last one is Elf. Elf is so great. You've done it. The world's best coffee. We quote it all the time. I love it.
That is a good one. All right, let's start with Yates because he's probably the lowest on Christmas.
All Yates out of does three. Is laugh at how ridiculous we are. That's all he does. We make everybody nervous.
Yates, kick us off. What are your three?
Go on.
You're all ridiculous, but I'm going to go with Grinch at three.
Okay. Grinch, oh, we're going 3-1.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to go 3-1.
Old school Grinch.
Yeah. I'm going to go Jim Carrey.
Thank you.
Okay. Jim Carrey Grinch. There
okay,
you go.
Thank you.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, that one doesn't get thrown out a lot. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then obviously Far and Away is next Friday and there's no other.
Yeah.
Grinch.
See? He already knows.
Okay.
He already knows.
You guys and your next Fridays and Fridays after next. You two love those.
Put the trilogy in, the whole thing.
All of them.
All of them. Play them all back to back to back.
We like them.
James.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas
That's
Vacation.
Good.
I mean,
I
think I've watched it like 45 times in December.
James, we're just letting you know, you cannot give us 15 movies here. I know you want.
I got three. I narrowed it down. All right, come on. Bad Santa. I think Bad Santa.
Oh, Bad Santa is good.
Missed that
it
one.
It is hilarious.
Fantastic movie.
It's not for kids, but it is hilarious.
It is funny. Yeah.
And my favorite Christmas movie of all time is Scrooged. With Bill Murray. I love Bill Murray and
I do too. Chicago.
It's such a great Christmas movie.
I get in a lot of trouble for saying this. I don't necessarily get all the Bill Murray's humor.
Stop it.
I won't go too far down this path because I got hate mail for a long time for it. I love Groundhog's Day. I love Ghostbusters. Not a huge Caddyshack guy. Don't get the obsession. Please don't at me. It's Christmas.
Okay. Bat.
James is so upset.
I can't believe this.
Pat Costello.
This is Christmas.
Give it to us, brother.
A Christmas Story at number three, for obvious reasons.
Classic.
It is the Christmas movie. Number two, Rudolph. I watched it so much as a kid that I literally broke the VHS tape that I had. Ruined
VHS.
It. And controversially, number one is Die Hard.
Oh, he did it.
You did it.
Die Hard. We almost got through the Christmas conversation.
Christmas movie.
It is absolutely a Christmas movie, and I can tell you why, because Christmas is crucial to the entire plot of the movie.
How so?
Name another, because it has to take place on Christmas. It's during a Christmas party that they meticulously plan to be part of.
Take over.
Christmas is during every single part of the movie.
Okay.
Does it give you the
Christmas? It's just because it doesn't snow that everyone thinks it's not a Christmas
movie. I have a confession.
He goes with the Christmas story. He goes with Rudolph. What was the other one?
Rudolph.
And then you hit us with your number one is about murder and scandal.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Terrorism.
No, today's a happy day. I thought he was grumpy.
It's about someone saving the day and reuniting with a loved one.
I got to be honest, I've never seen Die Hard.
You haven't seen half the movies we suggest.
I know,
you haven't seen Bad Santa, which is hilarious.
Yes, I have. I have seen Bad Santa.
Okay.
I have seen Bad Santa. Those are good. And like true producers and organizers of this show, they all went 3-1 and our idiot brains went 1 through 3 or 4.
Idiot was strong. How about some omissions? A Wonderful Life, huge omission.
Why? It's a classic.
Do you know what omission means?
Oh,
I don't know if you know this, Shay, but Jordan has an English major from Notre Dame.
How could I forget? He tells us every day. I thought you meant like the ones we should cancel. Sorry.
All right. So Wonderful Life is an omission, I'd have to say. Polar Express. People are very high on Polar Express.
Yeah, I do. I love Polar Express.
Jingle All the Way. Is that one?
Mm. Did anyone even mention Elf?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she mentioned
it. And then I quoted, you've done it.
I'm just going through and looking
for the show.
Harold and Kumar, a very Harold and Kumar Christmas. Four Christmases.
That one's good.
Christmases with Vince
Vaughn.
You're
a big Vince Vaughn fan.
I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan in terms of his acting.
Harold and Kumar's Christmas didn't do much for me.
Frosty?
Frosty's a classic.
It's a classic?
I think we covered pretty much all of them.
Santa Claus, I think, is
very underrated. Great Tim Allen movie.
Best Man Holiday. I would have put it on my list, but I just don't like that there was a sudden tear-jerking turn that I wasn't expecting, didn't like, so I took it off my list.
You love The Family Stone, though, and there's a little tear.
The Family Stone.
You love The Family Stone, and that's got a little tear-jerker in it.
That's a big miss. I love The Family Stone. Love The Family Stone. Diane Keaton. Is it Diane Keaton?
Yeah, it's Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Rachel McAdams is in that movie.
Clearly, Jordan loves it so much, he doesn't even know who's in it.
Yeah, I
what'd you say?
Names.
Jordan clearly loves the movie. He doesn't even know who's in it.
Yeah, he does. If it's on TV, even not around Christmas, he'll watch it.
That movie and The Breakup are two movies that if they're on TV at any point, block out those 3 hours because of commercials, and I'm watching them. The Breakup, I can't try any way to force that in as a Christmas movie.
No, don't.
That and The Family Stone. Please, anybody out there right now, it's a good family feel movie. Watch The Family Stone. Above all else that we've suggested, I think it's good vibes.
Is that the one you want to watch tonight?
I'll watch Family Stone. And a whole lot of bourbon.
Okay. I feel like we always watch The Family Stone, though. But I do love that movie.
It's about tradition.
I know.
I'm taking this onesie off.
No, you're not. James Harden, making the wrong decisions. That's next. We'll discuss. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.